Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah!
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of mercy, we no longer look for Jesus among the dead, for he is alive and has become the Lord of life. Increase in our minds and hearts the risen life we share with Christ, and help us to grow as your people toward the fullness of eternal life with you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from the book of Acts. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 118 responsively. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever.
Let Israel now declare, God's mercy endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation.
Shout for joy in the salvation, echo in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
I shall not die but live, and declare the works of the Lord.
The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death.
Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. Hear the righteous answer.
I give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
By the Lord has this been done. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is
the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Glory
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading from the book of 1 Corinthians. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are all of people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all shall be made alive in Christ. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found a stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
I'm thinking about starting a campaign to get Easter on a set day of the week. I mean, not day of the week, a set day on the calendar. You know, like Christmas is always December 25th. Well, I think Easter should always be on the same day, and I'm going to campaign for April 1st, April Fool's Day, because this gospel, this Easter story is full of surprises and full of being, well, foolishness. It's a great joke on the devil who thought that Jesus was dead, and Jesus is alive. The story begins with the obvious. Jesus is dead. And his followers assume that he will remain dead. The women come to the tomb early in the morning, the tomb where they had seen Jesus place that dead body of Jesus placed in the tomb after he died on the cross, and they bring spices to anoint his body to show proper respect for the dead. And when they discover the tomb is empty, they didn't immediately think that Jesus was alive. The gospel says that they were perplexed, confused. They know, just like we know, that dead bodies stay dead, that dead bodies are found in the cemetery, and that's where you go to offer honor and respect. There's a lot of people in the world like these women. They assume that death is death, and that's the end of it. They say that Jesus should be treated with proper respect, with dignity, by honoring his memory and remembering him as a great teacher and a healer, a man of compassion and understanding. But those women received a word that turned everything upside down, everything that they thought they knew about life and death. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Who are these guys with this strange question? Seems like this is part of the April Fool's joke. Why, where else would you go to honor the dead except a cemetery? Don't let your focus get confused by thinking about the messengers. Listen to the message. The women are told Jesus is risen. They didn't see the risen Jesus, but they are given a word. They're given a message. They were told, just like you and I are told. This is exactly what we get on Easter Day, a word of the resurrection. If those women had arrived at the tomb and seen Jesus walking out, they wouldn't have had to rely simply on the word of the resurrection. You know, God doesn't make Jesus appear to us today in all white glory on this Easter morning. Like those women at the tomb, we too are given a message of the resurrection, a message that turns upside down what we thought we knew to be true. And it only makes sense not to believe that word. Experience teaches us that death wins. But the Easter message says Jesus lives. You know, it's part of human nature to cling to what we know is true when we're faced with a contradiction. When we're faced with colliding contradictions, we always go toward what we already know is true. And that's what happened to these women. Death is death, and that's final. And that resurrection message just doesn't make sense. When they went back and told that word of resurrection to the disciples, they responded like we do to an April Fool's joke. It's an idle tale. It can't be true. And they didn't believe them. You know, unbelief doesn't mean that people believe nothing at all. It means that they believe something else. People don't say, I don't believe it. But they mean that they believe something else more strongly. And here's where the word of resurrection, the Easter message, begins to do its work by challenging our certainties. The world teaches us that death wins, that even the strongest dies. But the Easter message says that death is real, but it's not final. St. Paul says, all will be made alive in Christ. The world teaches us that we should draw lines of division, that we should strengthen the borders and associate only with like-minded people. But the Easter message says that we should draw circles of inclusion. We should say all are welcome and love your enemies. The work of resurrection is at work in us when we include, when we welcome, when we love. The world teaches us about competition, accumulation, and measures success by how much we have. The Easter message teaches us about cooperation and sharing, and measures success in how much we love. The Easter message calls us from our old belief in death and calls us to a new belief in life. The idea that one who is crucified lives, that one who is dead and buried is now alive, is outrageous. It's, well, unbelievable. The disciples heard that message of Easter, and they heard it from those women, and they were convinced that it was nonsense, nothing more than an idle tale. Death is death, and that's final. Yet this message was so outrageous that Peter had to go and look for himself. What if it might be true? What if it could be true? He has to go and look. And we follow in the footsteps of Peter. We've heard the rumor that Jesus is alive. And we've come here this morning to check it out, to see if it might be true, to hear for ourselves this message of Easter. What if death is final? What if it's not? What if death is real, but not final? What if Jesus isn't in the past tense, but is in the present? What if Jesus does meet us here today, as he promised? What would love be then? What would our life be then? What would we be then? The Easter message ends with Peter going home in amazement. But the Easter message continues far beyond that, as God continues to turn everything upside down, challenging the certainty of death with the promise of life. The Easter message continues in you and in me as we show the risen Christ alive in us, alive in our care for the poor, our inclusion and welcome in our praise and our worship. The Easter message is shouted out in the waters of baptism for all the baptized, especially for Jordan and for Dylan and for Lizzie, who will be baptized this morning. What wonderful telling these will do on the message of Jesus alive in them. Lots of people believe that death is the last word, but God doesn't believe it. God refuses to believe it. Why do you look for the living among the dead? This is the Easter message. This is the resurrection word. Through the living Jesus, we are given the life. We are given eternal life. We are given resurrected life. We are given the gift of life. So live it abundantly. Share it lavishly. Enjoy it eternally. Amen.